Session number 8227.
Brigadier Rachman, tape 7. I wonder if you'd mind continuing with your story of the gassing at the Flechier Salient, was it not?
Yes, yes.
You were saying mustard gas was used.
Oh, very much, yes, in great numbers, in great quantities. Now, of course, we all had to wear our gas masks, and very difficult. But then, of course, the offensive had swarmed on, and we had to retire. At this moment, there was no opposition, and the Germans followed it up, but very casually. And we came back after successive positions until we reached the area of the old Somme again. And there we were attacked by the Germans, which we beat off. And then the commanding officer and I went out on a reconnaissance to see what was happening and organize things, and he was mortally wounded. Bernard Ellis.
Were you with him at the time?
I was with him at the time, yes. Right next to him.
And that must have been rather hard for you.
Yes, we eventually got him evacuated, and he died a few days afterwards.
This would have been, of course, the great push of the Germans,
yes,
wouldn't
oh,
it?
Yes, yes,
yes. Well, was it a very rapid retreat for the Allied troops at that time in this area?
Oh, yes, it was, yes, yes.
Was there quite a shambles with the retreat?
Comparatively, yes, but we weren't, our line wasn't really broken like it was further down south. But we had to go back and comply with the others. But we were attacked, and we'd beaten them off, but it wasn't the main German offensive. Well, then we got back into the Somme area, and I wasn't affected on the chest, but I was terribly burnt by this mustard gas.
I was going to ask you the effects of the gas,
yes,
if you would describe these.
We'd been getting very hot, you see, and as adjutant I'd been very active going round and where the troops were and so on, and I'd sweated a lot, and the gas then seemed to burn into all vital points on the body. And so much so that I was evacuated and passed out.
That must have been very painful.
Well, I don't remember anything at all until I woke up in hospital in London.
Did you have any lasting effects from the gas?
I don't know. I haven't really. They said it might last, but I don't think it has. But it was very painful at the time.
Did you suffer any breathing difficulties as well as burning?
No, that was the funny thing. I suppose it was a respirator that stopped it, but I didn't have any chest troubles. And that's what the hospital couldn't understand.
You were wearing your gas masks, were you, at the
yes,
time of the
yes.
attack? Was that the end of the war for you when you were evacuated back
to
England?
That was the second military cross. They gave me a military cross for that during that retreat. And I couldn't bear to be in England, and I did get out just at the very end of the war again and joined the battalion.
Where were they then?
Well, they were then up in Belgium, advancing every day, and I just got into the end, and then we were, the war ended, and we were stationed in a little village called Doer in Belgium.
Do you remember the armistice?
Oh yes, out there, yes.
Could you tell me about it, how you heard of it and how you celebrated, if you did indeed?
Well, we just got the message and hostilities were to cease at 11 a.m. on the 11th of the 11th, and that was only a few hours before it happened, but we knew it was coming. And then, curiously enough, I don't think we did celebrate very much. We look back on the chaps that weren't not really, no. But we were mighty glad it was over.
When you returned to France after your gassing incident, you must have noticed a great change in the situation. You know, you were evacuated back to Blighty during the retreat.
Oh, yes.
And did you find that the situation was totally different when you returned?
Oh, completely different. And it was open warfare, you see. Quite different. Well, the retreat had been open warfare, the first that happened, but the advance of victory was really all open warfare. Very much an armoured affair, too.
Was that exhilarating after the sort of experiences
yes,
you'd had before?
Yes, it was, yes.
Anything in particular that you remember about that thrust forward?
Not really much, no. The casualties, of course, were very light, really. The Germans were on the retreat and there were only a few pockets to mop up.
Could I ask you about the German technology compared with the British? You mentioned, for instance, that you went in their trenches to see to your wounded comrades several times. Do you think that they were relatively better prepared and better armed than the British, or how do you think the two sides did compare regarding weaponry and equipment?
Well, I think they were getting very short of things at the end, but they were the most efficient army, there's no question about that, but their manpower was getting very low. Most of them were very low calibre at the end.
Did they have good weapons?
Oh yes, first class.
Anything in particular that you think was particularly effective that you dreaded when they started using?
Well, we in the training, we didn't like their mini-buffers, as they were called. They were enormous things fired from trench mortars. And they were even more destructive than the ordinary shell.
Did they make a noise?
Oh, terrific. Terrific explosion. I think we called them toffee apples.
Did you ever meet any of the Germans face to face when you took them prisoner or anything?
Well, oh, yes, we did. I did in the Battle of Yonk. I did in this strong point when we first went in. We just got a bit of it before they surrendered. And of course, we met them considerably in the March retreat.
What were your living conditions like in France compared with Gallipoli?
Well, of course, in the trenches, very much the same, except the trenches were much better, but behind, very much better indeed. You had hutted accommodation or even billeted out in the villages when you were behind. Much better conditions behind the line.
How about your food in France? Was that better as well?
How what?
Your food. Were you getting better food?
Oh, yes, much better, much better.
And the men as well, your ratings,
oh,
were
yes,
they
yes, the ratings,
better fed?
Oh, yes, yes, the ratings, everything was, in that way, administratively, was very much better. Quite naturally, you see.
Am I right in thinking you were at Passchendaele as well?
Yes, yes.
Is there anything that stands out about Passchendaele that you would like to tell us about?
What always comes to mind in Passchendaele is that I think it was Siegfried Sassoon who said I was in hell, but they call it Passchendaele. I'm sorry about this. Asquith saved us well.
What was so awful, do you think, about Passchendaele?
Never ought to have been. The conditions were terrible, worse than physically on the ground. I mean, it was just mud, 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 and if you slipped off the mud, or if a wretched mule slipped off the mud, they were virtually sunk. You couldn't get a mule out, you'd get a man out, but you couldn't get the mule out. And there's a picture in the jail's history, terrible. And Asquith, when he was in reserve with the Hood battalions, saw what was going on in daylight. And he said, we've got to do it at night. And they did let him do it at night. He doesn't get enough credit for that. And so we assaulted these strong points point by point at night. And we gained our objectives. But the authorities said we hadn't killed enough Germans.
Do you think the authorities ever really knew what was going on there?
Well, it's always said that the Chief of Staff to Lord Haig, General Keppel, came round afterwards and said, did we really ask them to assault in this?
It must have been awful if one was wounded in those conditions.
Oh, terrible, yes. We had a series of duckboards that you went up and couldn't have trenches.
Was anything achieved?
Well, it's alleged that we achieved something by capturing a ridge at Passchendaele, but I mean, I'm not only naval division, but all of them. I don't know whether it really did any good. Thought we were going to have a rest, and then we were rushed down to the Cambrai area to stem the tide after the tank battle of Cambrai. Quite severe fighting there, and that's where we stayed till March 18 in the Flakey Salient.
What were things like in Cambrai when you arrived?
The Germans hadn't finished their assaulting, and they assaulted us quite severely, but we were then strong enough to hold them off, and that held up a battle called Welsh Ridge, was our particular battle.
What happened there? Can you remember?
Well, the Germans assaulted the position, and by the automatic fire against Supreme, we just stopped it. And I think their casualties were terrific.
How soon were you demobbed after the war, Brigadier? You went back to France in time for the armistice.
Well, we were demobbed soon after this parade with the Prince of Wales. That would be June 1919.
The Prince of Wales came out to France, did he?
No, on horse guards. We came back as a division. We came, a comparatively few of us, I mean, no end had been demobilised from Belgium and Doer, but the cadre, as it were, of the battalions, including ourselves, came back to London, and there we had a parade of the survivors of the Royal Naval Division. Everybody was there. Winston Churchill, the First Sea Lord, the Prime Minister, Mr. Asquith, admirals of the fleet, Jackie Fisher, Lord Beresford, Lord Charles Beresford, and A.K. Wilson. They were honorary, extraordinary appointments. They were honorary colonels of the three brigades of our division, those three admirals of the fleet. Leslie Wilson was there, of course, now finished with the war and back in Parliament. And then the Prince of Wales came and on horseback and inspected the battalion, the parade, and addressed us in very glowing terms.
That must have been quite a rare occasion.
Oh, yes.
You were very proud to belong to the Royal Naval Division,
weren't
you?
Oh, tremendously proud, yes. And so were we all, and the associations, I told you, went on and on and on.
In World War II, were you part of the Royal Naval Division then?
Oh, no. This final parade was the end of the Royal Naval Division. Actively. But there was such a camaraderie and esprit de corps that these associations, the Officers Association and the General Association, went on until just a few years ago.
But it was disbanded at that time, was it, as a fighting unit?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, I can't really ask you in this interview about your Second World War experiences, but I understand you did take part in the Second World War, is that right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes. What was your rank then? I know I'm calling you Brigadier now. Is that when you achieved the rank of Brigadier?
Oh, yes, yes, in the war, yes.
And what was your regiment then?
Middlesex Regiment.
Did you fight in any operations overseas then?
Dunkirk, yes. All the operations from Belgium back to Dunkirk and over.
Well, I think when we do that, we'll have to come back and have another word with you. But thank you very much indeed for sharing your First World War experiences with us.
Yes. The battles, working out the casualties.
That was the worst thing?
That was the most trying thing, yes.
I suppose you had to write the letters home, did you, to the next of kin? That must have been a very difficult job, I think.
Some never seem to have got there somehow, but they were written. A.P. Herbert was very keen on that.
On writing the right message?
Writing to relatives, yes.
Was there a particular way you tried to handle it? Do you remember? You know, was there anything you tried to say about the person who'd lost their life?
We always tried to give them the circumstances under which they died, but lots of them, you see, weren't known. You just didn't know what had happened. And all you could tell them was that they were last seen so-and-so. In the battles, you know, you just lost any sense of... certainly you still had fear there, but people like Freiburg didn't know what fear was. But you hadn't time, as it were, to feel emotion when these people got killed and that. Well, it was just another thing, but afterwards it was terrible.
Did you feel frightened at all ever?
Yes.
How did you cope with that?
Well, I used to feel sometimes with the futility of it all, the wrongness of it all, but...
I wonder about you at Gallipoli, you know, holding that last line, how you must have felt then. I would think that must have been, you must have felt very vulnerable, I would think.
We felt very vulnerable until towards getting to the end, when we felt, no, they're not going to come after us. But you see, there was a stage of an hour or two or 3 hours, say, before the final evacuation, when we could see nothing was going to happen, that we weren't going to be attacked.
You were quite confident of that,
yes,
were you?
Yes, in the end. But at first we were very apprehensive. We should have done our best, but there would have been a lot of slaughter.
What was the situation with prisoners on Gallipoli? Did you ever take Turkish prisoners while you were there?
Well, yes, a few. As I say, we took one when in one of our raids was in. We took one, knocked him out, and then brought him back and for identification purposes. But there weren't many Turkish prisoners, really.
What would have happened to him after he was interrogated?
I don't know at all.
Were any of our men taken prisoner by the Turks?
Oh, yes, some, yes.
How did they fare? Have you any idea?
Not very well, really, but nothing compared to the Japs in the Second World War.
Did you learn lessons, do you think, from your experience in the First World War?
Oh, yes.
You must have grown up quite quickly.
I'd had a very sheltered life, really, before. But I think I was fairly well in the thick of it, but I was very lucky to get through.
Did you find you could pick up the threads of your life afterwards quite easily? Or did it take you time to adjust?
Well, I had a trying time to know what to do. A.P. Herbert desperately wanted me to go to Oxford, but I wasn't up to Oxford. He was at New College, of course.
Yes.
I eventually decided if I could get back to the army, that would be the best line for me, because I was number three, and my father said, there's no place for you here. I did join Pisons as a management trainee, but I couldn't get down to that, really. And then I applied and mysteriously got a commission in the Middlesex Regiment, where I'd got some friends, certainly, and went right through with it.
And you were pleased to get back to a service life, were you?
Yes, yes.